What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Kamala Harris says no to running for governor.
She just wasn't into it. That's the bottom line. She was looking at it. She was thinking about it. And I think seriously, but she just decided not to go back to Sacramento.
The current governor picks a fight with Texas, accusing the state of outrageous Republican gerrymandering.
Trying to play poker with the state that thinks it invented poker over there in Texas. It has gotten extremely real.
And he grew up in the San Fernando Valley, hit stardom in the NBA, but now faces serious criminal charges.
You know, sometimes more money, more problems is what I think Biggie said in that rap song.
Welcome to the LA Local for Wednesday, July 30th, 2025, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, James Tuck, and no, the bosses did not cancel me after my first hosting of the LA Local last week. What were they thinking? Don't I sound too NPR for commercial radio? Well, coming up on today's LA Local, and I insist on believing it probably should be SoCal Local. What about OC and the Inland Empire? I digress. But coming up, former NBA All-Star Gilbert Arenas is accused of helping to run an illegal gambling operation out of a mansion in Encino. It's probably a good thing. There are now two very bad words you now cannot say in front of the LA City Council. And more on that political battle that continues between Red Texas and Blue California. But we start with Brentwood resident Kamala Harris, ending months of speculation by announcing she will not run for California governor in 2026. She herself started that speculation this spring by letting it be known through friends and family that she would make a decision on a possible run in late summer. So here we are. I got more from Bay Area political insider Phil Mateer, who has covered the entire career of Kamala Harris. You say it didn't really come as a surprise to you. How so? Why was that?
Well, if you're going to make a serious run for governor of California, you start to meet with people. You have to sort of set the stage up for your announcement and running. And we just had not seen or heard Kamala Harris doing that. She wasn't calling donors. She wasn't calling support in labor. She wasn't trying to really make the move to set up for a run for governor. She just wasn't into it. That's the bottom line. She was looking at it. She was thinking about it, but she just decided, and I think seriously, but she just decided not to go back to Sacramento.
Right. And her statement talks about deep reflection. But now what lies in the future? She's sort of hinted, you know, in the coming months, I'll make an announcement. You know, we've heard that before about her plans. But everyone's going to speculate run in 28 for president again.
Well, everyone's going to be speculating, and I don't think that that's front and center right now. She's busy writing a book, doing paid speaking engagements, and generally making a living, and just trying to assess her situation. I mean, she made it to being the Democratic nominee for president in a very unusual way, and she lost. And in some ways, that's one of the highest mountains you can climb in the political range. But if you fall off and don't make it to the top, it's a double down to try to just get back up. So it's not an easy move to make. What we're going to be seeing is her, like I said, out there as a presence. She'll be campaigning and she'll be assessing. But that's not going to be easy for her to make a move on the White House again.
And why is that? Just because some people like her, some people loathe her, and that's even Democrats.
Kamala has one of the highest name IDs in American politics. That's both a good thing and a bad thing. On the good side, you know, that can get the Democrats out there. On the bad side, there's a lot of people out there with negative feelings about her, especially after the presidential run. So you have to get over that. It's sort of a Richard Nixon situation. You have to reinvent yourself after having fallen out of favor. Right now, if you read if you listen to the release, if you listen to what she's saying, she's still running against Donald Trump. And that's not necessarily the message the Democrats can take forward. They have to come up with things rather than just run against him. She has yet to come up with any sort of presence on a sort of positive, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. She's still sort of playing yesterday's ballgame.
And then now there's the succession race, the race for governor in 26. Lots of competition on the Democratic side. Would you say it's wide open, or is that not the way to look at it?
Oh, it's definitely wide open. The governor's race is wide open. We have a host of different people, former congresswomen like Katie Porter, lieutenant governor like Eleni Kaliakis, former Los Angeles mayor Antonio Villarosa. But what we don't have is somebody with a big name ID. In other words, they've paid their dues and such, but none of them are, you know, polling over 10% right now. They're just not known in the big state of California. One person to keep your eye on, Rick Caruso. Will he try again? Will he ran for mayor of Los Angeles. He's done it before. Will he enter the race and run for governor? That would be the shakeup. You know, being governor of California is a big job, but it takes a lot of small ball politics to win at it and play it well. Whether you're Jerry Brown or Gavin Newsom, you can have presidential aspirations, but you've really got to have a passion for running the state and running around the state, because that's what you wind up doing. And you know, if she ran for governor, one of the first questions anybody would be asking is this a four-year commitment, or in 2 years are you going to run for president? So she would have been closing the door on probably what she ultimately wants to do, and that's run for president. So I'm not sure she's ready to close that door, and announcing for governor would have done that.
Some big insights there from Phil Mateer, one of the top political analysts in the Bay Area, and indeed the entire state. Well, staying with politics, Governor Gavin Newsom tweeting out this after Texas released plans for congressional redistricting designed to create new Republican seats. This is what he said. Donald Trump asks for 5 seats and Greg Abbott automatically bends the knee. The 2026 election is being rigged. California won't sit back and watch this happen. That tweet today from Governor Newsom. And he's already said we could see some serious redistricting of our own here in favor of Democrats in California. Our anchor, Brian Ping, got more from redistricting expert Paul Mitchell, starting with what's in the Texas plan.
And they have created 5 potential Republican pickups there. And the 2 big messages are, one, those pickups might not be guaranteed. They obviously have to run races. We can quibble with the math on if they're effective. But 2, this triggers California to respond in kind. And it seems as though Gavin Newsom has really struck a chord with Democrats who have been wanting a fighter. And it looks like the fight might be on this redistricting issue.
Well, the J.D. Vance tweet, he said California's 40% of their vote is Republicans, and yet they don't have anywhere close to 40% of the House seats. Does he have a point? Is that how it should be?
It's kind of a nonsensical argument. It would take a long time to really kind of go through all the math. But the bottom line is that if you try to create a map in California that would be proportional, where 40% of the votes right now generally for president or something go to the Republicans, so they should hold 40% of the seats, you'd have a bunch of seats that go like from Bakersfield to Santa Monica and from, you know, the Mojave Desert into Pasadena and all these really crazy districts, because we have areas where there's extremely large Democratic registration and areas with extremely large Republican registration. And so to draw a proportional map is actually not possible in California, as is true in other states.
So do you think this is going to get legs here in California as far as the governor's efforts to take it upon himself? Do you see this gaining any traction here?
I mean, this thing's got so many legs, it's like a centipede at this point. Right now, the governor started this, and when he first started talking about it, I and a lot of others thought, well, this is a nice bluff, you know, trying to play poker with the state that thinks it invented poker over there in Texas. But it has gotten extremely real. It's gotten so real that you have members of Congress right now tweeting about their new potential districts and telling not only their voters and Californians, but also Texas voters and Texas legislators that whatever they can do in Texas, we can do better. And we are, I think, in a new world right now with regards to this issue.
Paul Mitchell of the firm Political Data. Thanks for sticking with us on the LA SoCal Local for a Wednesday, and thanks for continuing to listen, despite my educated and refined English accent. So we've done politics, how about crime? Former NBA All-Star Gilbert Arenas, who lives in Woodland Hills, has been charged by the feds with helping to run an illegal gambling operation out of a home in Encino. The indictment alleged he worked with members of an Israeli organized crime ring.
The mansion was staged. There were people found to host the games and collect rent from the co-conspirators on Arenas' behalf. The game basically was illegal pot limit Omaha poker games among illegal games at this mansion. Gershman and some of the other figures collected a rake or a fee that the house charged him from each pot, either as a percentage or as a fixed amount per hand.
Joining me now is a fellow host of the LA Local, Brandon Liebhaber, who is also the resident newsroom sports expert. He used to do play-by-play baseball and all sorts of things, but he also big basketball fan. Gilbert Arenas, I mean, colorful career to say the least, and he's a local guy, San Fernando Valley, right?
Yeah, he was a star at Grant High School in the Valley. They retired his number out there, and it's kind of sad hearing today's news because, I mean, he's a real success story. You know, following basketball, that most of the time, second-round draft picks don't amount to much. Very rare for them to carve out the kind of career that he did. Three-time All-Star, more than 10 years as an NBA player. Now he's a successful podcaster. I think it's called Gil's Arena that he hosts now. But as you said, a very colorful career. And I actually was looking back when you told me you wanted to talk to me about this topic. If you're a basketball fan, you might remember, even if you're not, this was a big national story when he was suspended for a long time by the NBA because he brought guns into the locker room and then subsequently made fun of it, because I think shortly after the story broke, he came out during starting lineups and then pointed finger guns at his teammates. And after that, I think, is when the NBA suspended him. But I was looking that up, and I had totally forgotten the backstory to that, and that he and a teammate had apparently drawn guns at each other in the locker room. It was an argument over gambling debts. And so, sadly, ironic, today's news that he's indicted on federal gambling charges.
And also, he has a son who's a very good basketball player, too. And that's a bit of a story, too.
Yeah, the Arenas family, it's definitely been a rough year. I feel for them because they both have been in the headlines largely for the wrong reasons. Elijah Arenas, one of the top basketball recruits in the country, was sought after by just about every major college for a basketball scholarship, wound up following in Bronny James's footsteps, if you will, going to USC, though he's considered an even better prospect than Bronny. And very high hopes for him, thoughts that maybe he might only need 1 year in college before going pro. But he's had a rough year. He's probably not going to play this year. Suffered an injury during summer practice with the USC team that's going to require knee surgery. He's out for 6 to 8 months. And then before that, we covered this as well. He had to spend almost a week in the hospital. He lost control of the Cybertruck he was driving, crashed into a tree. The truck caught on fire. Fortunately, he was able to get out and he wound up being okay, but they did have to put him in a coma, an induced coma, because of the smoke inhalation.
And just wrapping this up, I mean, Arenas was a fantastic basketball player. Agent Zero, he styled himself at Zero.
They called him Hibachi, too. I remember that was his other nickname, Hibachi.
But also earned tens of millions from NBA career. So, I mean, it is a sort of head scratcher, and it's a kind of overall, it's a kind of local kid, makes good, then makes bad. I mean, it's a kind of almost a morality tale, isn't it?
Well, sometimes, you know, with gambling, I mean, I don't know if there's any reporting as to what kind of problems he has, but you know, gambling is something you can become addicted to, and you know, sometimes you know, more money, more problems is what I think Biggie said in that rap song. But it is sad, you know, a local kid who carved out a career for himself, and as I said earlier, really an inspirational story if you look at just the basketball career side of it. But it's sad to see.
Finally, anyone who has ever watched the LA City Council or LA County Board of Supervisors in real time knows that the public comment sessions can be excruciating, going on for hours and hours and being filled with abuse by the same old faces that turn up for meetings. It's not exactly democracy in action. It might be democracy in action, one word. Anyway, bad pun. Now the LA City Council is banning people from saying two very bad words in front of them. our City Hall reporter Craig Figner got more from Council President Marquise Harris Dawson.
Because it's a council rule and not an ordinance, we can begin enforcing that on Friday.
So on Friday, if somebody comes up for public comment and starts using the C word or the N word, what happens?
We can throw them out immediately without warning.
And can they come back the next council meeting on Tuesday?
They will have a two-day ban, so they can't come to council or committee for two sessions, and then after that they can come back.
You know, there are some free speech absolutists who are going to see this as an opportunity to sue the city.
The city attorney's office is fully prepared, locked and loaded, for the person who comes up and says people ought to have a right to say these words in council.
There you have it. No swearing from me to end, and I never swear in the newsroom, honest. This has been your LA Local for Wednesday, July the 30th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. That's all from me for now. Tomorrow you'll get your LA Local update from my colleague Erin Cooper. And a shout out to her for staying very late past 1 a.m. last night in the newsroom to cover the tsunami advisory. Thankfully, in the end, those waves were modest. But above and beyond from Erin. For now, goodbye, good luck, and cheers!
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.